Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, hello.
I feel jolly.
Jolly, jolly.
She's feel jolly and stressed.
Jolly and stressed. Sometimes you feel both.
I think that I'm like you. We're the same. This is the founding principles of the pod, I'm just realizing, is that we thrive in chaos.
Oh, it's so true. I have never been so busy and I've never been like so chaotic and I love it. I love not knowing where I'm going to be tomorrow. I love not having a minute. It's because our brains are so active that it means we don't have a minute to think. I think that's what it is.
I'm worried that your mic's doing that cutty thing again.
Basically what it was doing yesterday, last time on GarageBand, was there was like a 3 second delay in it pulling through the audio when I was talking to you last time. And I could see that as it was pulling through, but because it was pulling through, I was like, oh, it's probably fine. It's just freaking out. And I think that's what caused it. But now it's just going like normal.
Okay. Okay, cool.
I hope it's fine. I hope it's fine.
Okay, fine. We can just leave that in because if it's not fine, the girls can know that we tried, but we have an hour to get this done.
We're on a tight schedule, girlies.
We're like Poog when Kate Berlant's like, I have an hour before a show, and then she's running out the door. Speaking of, I saw her live recently.
Was she amazing?
You know what? I didn't love it.
The pause.
Do you know what it was? Is I love Poog so much, and I actually bought tickets to their comedy special here, which I've just realized that I can now go to. I thought I couldn't go, and I'm really excited for that. But her humor herself. Is quite, this podcast is going to be all over the show with the speed of my brain. Her humor herself is quite like slapstick. Like she does funny faces.
I don't know about faces. I don't know about funny faces.
She does face, she pulls faces. Like she fully is like. I'm not joking. That's what she was doing. And then she was going like that. She was going.
No.
Across the stage. I'm wiggling, girls, with my teeth out.
Why?
Don't know.
Maybe it's one of those things where with Jacqueline, she's like reined in or something.
I think I like her off the cuff humor better. Like I like it when she's, it's our kind of humor when you just say something stupid or you respond to something in like a really deadpan way. But when it was rehearsed, it wasn't my fave. I don't even think I laughed out loud, which is crazy.
It's a disappointing experience, but still cool to see her. A gorgeous girl. I really like Jacqueline. There's this video of Jacqueline and John Early in the Criterion closet. They don't even say anything that's funny. It's just like them together. It just makes me laugh so much. I just love people like that.
Yeah, very funny. But yeah, back to the thriving in chaos thing. You just got to Melbourne and we're rushing around in circles. My day today is like so fucking, it's, I mean, you often have days that are quite hectic like this, but my day started with a 9 a.m. Botox appointment because I was like, you have to put yourself first sometimes. It's been 6 months. I'm getting more and more haggard by the minute. And then because I obviously couldn't have makeup on, but then I had to drive straight to the Sunset Tower for an interview, I had to pull over on Sunset Boulevard and put a full beat on in the car, in the Mazda, and then drove to Sunset Tower, parked, went to an interview just then, it's for Max Mara Women in Film. And I was just like waxing lyrical to the Max Mara woman, Maria.
Yeah, Maria Julia, right? Yeah, she's amazing.
Have you met her?
Yeah, I've interviewed her a few times, I think. She's incredible.
Yes, I said that to her and she was like, I think I know it. Yeah, she was like, I know who you're talking about. I was like, I love Max Mara. I've been to the show a few times, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, actually, the person I'm going to do a meeting with right now, my friend Grace, I'm pretty sure you would have met her. We both love Max Mara, blah, blah, blah. And then I like told her who you were and she was like, oh my God, yes.
Love.
Special. Now this, and then another meeting in 40 minutes.
She's back to back, baby. Who's the woman in Film, or is it under wraps?
Well, it would have happened by the time the pod comes out. It's Yara Shahidi.
She's so fab.
Who I'm interviewing tonight, and I'm so fucking nervous. I was like, she's interviewed Barack Obama. What am I going to say? She's gone to Harvard. She literally went, she just went to Harvard, like in the middle of being this famous actress and interviewing Barack Obama and stuff. And she's just graduated from Harvard. She's like fucking 10. It's crazy.
Yeah, she's amazing. That's so I love that they clever. Do that, the Women in Film thing. It's so fucking good. My passion project, Women in Film.
Same, it's so cool. But they've been doing it for 20 years, she was saying. I was like, you guys are so sick. I love it when brands do. This sounds like it's sponsored, but it's not. I love it when brands do that stuff behind the scenes because, like, do you know what I mean? Like, when you wouldn't, heaps of people wouldn't even know that Miu Miu have that Women Tales, and they give like two directors every year the money to fund a short film. They did Jinx Sabravo, Your Parfum Girly, and like it's so cool when they put their money towards stuff like that.
It's the best. It's really the best. Wait, I was going to say something I forgot. I mean, that leads in a little bit to Saltburn, but maybe we want to not dive into that straight away. But it's on the mind. Saltburn is on my mind.
Saltburn is on the mind. Saltburn's on my mind. It was a crazy experience in the cinema. I forgot that Emerald Fennell is a weirdo. Like, I forgot that Promising Young Woman was so crazy. Like, so crazy good in a good way. But I was like, I forgot that I was in for, like, a weird experience.
Yes. I didn't like Promising Young Woman as much as you did. So I was a bit trepidatious going into this. And I fucking loved it. Like, it's like an instant classic. I just thought it was so, so good. So smart. So funny. The performances were so good. I saw it on, I think because people had been saying online, like chattering or saying to me, it's super weird. Like, there's really weird shit. The ending's crazy. Like, there'd been a bit of hyping it up to that it was going to be super perverted and like kooky and crazy, and it obviously was. Some like extremely iconic scenes, but yeah, I just love the Emerald Fennell as this kind of posh freak in the best way possible. Her brain is like, this is exactly what I want to make. I want to make a movie where a guy fucks the dirt. Spoiler.
I hated that scene so much. I think that was the one that got me good. And someone said, I can't remember where I heard this or where I read this, but that was like not in the script. That just started happening and they went with it. Yeah, that was like, that was him just riffing. Oh my God, yeah.
Oh my God.
So Barry, what's his name? Barry Keogh. No, Riley Keogh.
Yeah, Keogh. I know, yeah. I was thinking I needed to look up how to pronounce that before we got on and I forgot. No, God, he's amazing.
Right. He's incredible.
I get we all love Jacob, but he was the standout times a million.
I think I think it was so well cast and I was so happy to see that was the Conversations with Friends girly. Did you realize that?
I was like, where do I know her
yes.
face and name from? And I did not realize that until you just said that.
Mm-hmm. How incredible is that? I noticed halfway through, because they would do close-ups of, this is the sister, this is Jacob Elordi's sister in Saltburn. So I guess for like a bit of background, though I feel like we're kind of giving spoilers, but not really, because it's such a wild film that I feel like you can't really spoil anything mm-hmm. with what we're saying. But it's, Emerald Fennell's second film. Her first was Promising Young Woman, and it's based around this young guy who goes to Oxford, who becomes obsessed with Jacob Elordi's group of friends. He's like a loner, becomes obsessed with Jacob Elordi's group of friends because he's the cool guy. And then he gets invited back to Saltburn, which is Jacob Elordi's parents' estate, for the holidays, because he doesn't have family to go home to. And that's where like all this crazy shit kicks off. And his sister, Jacob Elordi's sister in it, who's at Saltburn, is Alison someone from Conversations with Friends. And I feel like they made her look purposefully so different. Like, you can't really tell it's her. And I think she fucking killed it. And I was so happy to see her get, like, a really good film after that show. After having to
poor Jo, kiss poor agree. Jo. I didn't realize it was her. I know I recognized her from something. She was great. She was, the character was intentionally a little, like, one-dimensional in the start. And then that scene with, there's a scene with the two of them where she is just, like, phenomenal. She's amazing. They all kind of got their, I don't know, a moment to really show what they could do as actors, which was really fun to watch.
Yeah, and do you know who else? So there's Rosamund Pike, who's Jacob Elordi's mum, who killed it. And I've written three notes for Saltburn on our doc. Actually, this reminds me, we need to get back to a gorgeous girly who was like emailing us a very great job proposition that I'll tell you about to do with our doc, which I love. And so I've written three notes, so I should have a easy time with this. I wrote the penis, Conversations with Friends girl Alison Slade, and Rosamund Pike Slade, so happy she got to have long hair.
She was probably the standout. I mean, like you said, they were all great. It seems silly to put them on a hierarchy of who was best, but she was so fucking good. She's really funny. Her comedic timing is just unparalleled.
Yeah. And Carrie Mulligan in it again. She was in Promising Young Woman. And then this is a AWD. What did we used to call it when we had guests on? But AWD throwback to when we had Nesta Cooper on, because Archie, Jacob Elordi's, who was it? Cousin. That guy?
Yeah.
Is Nesta's co-star in C, the Apple TV show.
There you go.
Her brother in C. So they're like besties now from that show. And then he just got this crazy gig. And I think he did such a good job too.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone was great in it. It was really, really well cast. It did, we'll talk about the Jacob Elordi of it all in a minute. But just as a movie, I think I thought it was based on a novel. I thought I'd read that somewhere, but I don't think that that's right. I think this was just Emerald Fennell's complete, which is pretty amazing, because it almost feels like a piece of like literature that she's just decided to make as a movie instead of writing as a book. Like, it could be an amazing novel. And she's obviously, I actually don't know that much about her, but she obviously sounds very posh and her name's Emerald Fennell. So I assume that she comes from that kind of background that she's parodying. And I think there's something I kind of love about, you get the sense that these are the things that she or people she know have experienced. You go to Oxford and you make friends with someone, then they say, come to my house for the weekend, and you arrive and it's literally like a 400 room estate in the country, and the parents are super weird and eccentric and like holed up, and that kind of aristocratic thing where you don't quite know what you're supposed to do and you can make a huge faux pas without realizing it. And all of that stuff I just thought was so fascinating as like a exploration of class and how fucking stupid class is, and you're trying to get in with these people and there's actually nothing interesting about them except that they're rich. And you can never get to that level because they just have something that you'll never have, but you're trying to like learn their ways to mimic them, but it's a waste of time.
I agree. I found that like that part of it really fun, really funny, and just so spot on. What was I about to say about that? I was just reading trying to do pod research at the same time as us talking. But Dazed wrote a piece about can posh people write good class satire? And I think this writer was like being critical of it. So I was wanting to see what they said. But I think they're just basically saying that, yeah, I don't know what they're saying.
I do get that. I bristle a little bit, I think, at especially in England, I bristle a little bit at, and again, I'm just projecting because I actually...
Being like, eat the rich, but this woman is so rich.
Yeah, and being... saying, look how stupid and crazy and weird rich people are, but actually you only know that because... And again, I actually don't know anything about Emerald Fennell, so I'm projecting.
She said, it says here that she's Oxford-educated daughter of a high-society jeweller who attended the same boarding school as Kate Middleton.
Yeah, that all tracks.
Which, yeah, which sounds it, just from her
when
name.
She played Camilla Parker Bowles in The Crown. Like, she's, you know, she has that very aristo vibe.
Yes.
And sometimes those people are the best people. I would not be able to write a class satire like that because I don't understand that world at all. It's like you need someone who understands that world to be able to parody it.
Yeah.
But I understand the thing as well of, like, getting chops for making fun of the rich people. You know what I mean? For making fun of the rich people, like, while also... being one of them. And I don't think rich people would watch that movie and be, they're being very like lovingly mocked. It's not like a super dark twisted poking, tearing apart the class structure. It's just very much poking fun at dumb shit out of touch rich people say.
Yeah exactly. I found it so funny. Some of the dialogue was just so spot on, and I also loved the soundtrack. It was so of the time because it was set in the, when was it set? It was set like not now.
It was set in 06, which was a genius, right, yeah, decision too, for two reasons. The music, amazing, agree. We haven't really had a really great, apart from The Bling Ring, we haven't had like a really good movie that's tapped into that time well. But also no one was on their phones. I feel like that's why she said it then, but it was such a good part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, Jacob Elordi. So I think what's interesting about Jacob Elordi is the way that he... this, I don't know, I think this film was the first time, although I've known that he is sexy for, like, at least a few months, this film was the first time I, like, properly understood it in, like, I couldn't take my... In Priscilla, I wasn't even looking at him. He wasn't hot in Priscilla to me, and he's so sexy in this film. The smile... I was like, oh my God, I feel like a pedo.
I know. And he really knows. He knows. He knows what he's doing. He's just got, he's in control of his own like charisma in such an insane way. So the accent was a tad sketchy, a tad. I'm nitpicking, but a tad. There were moments that I struggled.
I mean, it would be hard. I would never be able to do, I mean, obviously it's not my job, so, and he's getting paid a lot of money, but it would be so hard to do an English accent. I feel like so many actors fuck up the accents.
Yeah, he did a very good job. Again, I'm nitpicking. It was just a couple of moments where I felt like he slipped into a bit of an Aussie drawl. An Aussie twang.
Aussie twang, yeah. I loved the, so we were going to speak about this on the Patreon last week, but I think it makes more sense to talk about it now that we've seen Saltburn, is the Jacob Elordi cover story on GQ. He was honored as Man of the Year, and the piece is called How Jacob Elordi Became the New King. And I love this writer, Gabriella Paella. Paella?
Mm-hmm.
She is so cool, and she wrote, I'm pretty sure she did the fucking...
Jeremy Strong. Succession, our Succession boy.
Kendall. Yeah. The way she does it is so good. So she begins the piece by saying the girlies are hyperventilating, and it's because where she's interviewing Jacob Elordi, they're all freaking out. And then she weaves in that part of the reason Sofia Coppola told her that she gave him the role of Elvis, which is actually what you've already said, is that the way she just wanted someone who women couldn't get enough of, like not so much someone that was that necessarily looked like Elvis or even kind of like sounded like Elvis. I mean, he did sound like Elvis, but not someone to embody Elvis, but someone to embody that charisma and that like it factor that women just can't fucking stay away from. And then she was saying that when she met Jacob Elordi in a cafe, the way the girls were behaving like made her book him for the part, which is really interesting.
It's so interesting. I loved this profile so much. I just love, I'm saying like in a very lovingly mocking way, but I love when interviewers like they did with Jeremy Strong just capture these brooding male actors that have like really torturously thinking about stuff that just isn't a big deal to anyone outside of their own brain about like, how do I make movies that have like artistic merit and not sell myself out? And like my agent wants me to do superhero movies. And it's very sweet and endearing that he speaks about it so openly in the way that Jeremy Strong does. And he's not like self-policing, I guess, but it's also kind of jarring.
Well, yeah, that's in Priscilla. Elvis talks about that. Like Elvis is on the bed being like, when are they going to give me a good film? And then Jacob Elordi's saying the same. And I was also like with Jacob Elordi. He was just like, I've done my dues. I was like, you did like one fucking shitty Netflix show and then you got Euphoria.
You're 11. You did the kissing booth with Joey King and pretended to date her. You haven't done your dues.
Yeah, and then you did Euphoria and now you're like the biggest star in Hollywood. Like, the rest of us shit kicked around for like a lot longer. So many actors will read that and just be like, are you joking? I did like 10 years on fucking Shortland Street before I got a gig anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. It's just funny. It just reads as someone who's in their peak moment where they're getting sent everything and getting sent all the scripts and everyone's obsessed with them and they're like 25 or whatever he is and thinking it through, and I feel like he will regret some of the quotes that he put in there later on because it's just funny. They're not bad, they're just funny. They're very like sort of earnest and green. It's like, why is it pretentious to care about art? I was like, you're right, Jacob Elordi.
No, did you see at the bottom of the article they made him, I was like, GQ, don't do this. They made him read, no, I think they said what makes you happy, and then it was his choice, but his agent should have stepped in here, like when Bad Bunny's agent stepped in and ripped the K necklace off that man's throat. they should have ripped the poems from Jacob Elordi's hand because he read poems out.
I didn't see that.
He read his favorite poems.
And I'm glad I didn't. Mm. It's like, I think this is why people get eye-rolly with like Jeremy Strong and I guess with Jacob Elordi is because they do act a little bit like they're the first person to have read a poem. Or like they assume because like no one else talks about it that no one else is interested in like art house movies or literature or, you know what I mean? Like they make it such a big, I think that's the thing that people find kind of cringy. I think it's quite sweet. But yeah, the poems should have been torn away. He does seem like he's a little inspired by Jeremy, perhaps.
I think he's also got that symptom, that like hot person thing where, you know, when like a hot person has just been hot and then they learn about other things other than them being hot. And then they're like, wow, this exists. And everyone's just like, we know. Like he's like, and then he was talking about how he loves Bon Iver. And I was like, I love Bon Iver as well. But I wouldn't say that like after reading poems. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a time and a place to like reveal these things. And you have to just be a little bit more kind of like structured and strategic with it. You can't just be like, I like The National and read poems and like Bon Iver.
We all love Bon Iver.
And love art house cinema at once.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're right, it is a hot person thing. That's actually, it's like the Kaya Gerber effect where she's like, I've read Plato's Symposium. And you're like, okay, calm down. Like, it's fine. We know you're not an idiot.
When she started her book club.
Yeah.
She was like, I can read.
Yeah.
We were like, we get it.
It's that vibe. I think there is a violins out for the hot people that are worried people think they're also not capable of reading.
Also, I like that Jacob Elordi likes animals, but even with that, I'm just like, I think he is that age though. Me looking down at this poor young boy who has so much to learn. He is that age though where something that you love does become your whole personality, which is kind of me when I have ADD about a certain thing, like Taylor Swift right now. But like, you know, he's like, I love animals, so animals are my thing, and I'm an animal lover, and I'm gonna like really loudly love every dog I see. And it's like, if you're honest with yourself, do you need to talk to that dog right now? Do you know what, you know, like, really? I mean, I'm kind of like that with cats, I guess.
Yeah, that's always that's always something I've struggled with. Okay, now I'm gonna pull it in, because now it's just gonna sound like we're ragging on Jacob Elordi, and we actually love him and obviously want to bless him, but yeah,
yes.
I get what you mean. People who are like, I love dogs. I'm like, we all love dogs. No one hates dogs, you know. Like, no one. I just love them.
Everybody loves dogs. We all think they're cute.
Yeah, it's fine.
See on our Google Doc, at the start of the doc, it said, number one, on our main episode, I have a surprise that will take approx 7 minutes of our time. Okay. Did you see that?
Yep. Should we start now? Okay. Seven.
Well, let's restart the podcast. No, the reason I'm saying it here, because we all love dogs, and I have one now, and I was going to show you it and pick it up.
Do you actually have?
I literally have a puppy and a kitten at my house.
Got them. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I got them. It's fucked up.
I'm literally flying to LA tomorrow.
You don't even understand. They are so cute. So I was talking on the Patreon, took up too much of everybody's time. But basically, a friend of mine, the long and the short of it is, a friend of mine's friend found this puppy and a kitten, both 8 weeks old at the time. They're 10 weeks old now. In a park together. It's a little tabby kitten, just like my cat in London, and a little chihuahua mixed with fox terrier dog, I think. We just don't know, but that's what it looks like. And they are best friends, inseparable. And she was like, I can't keep them. She started fostering them, was trying to find them a home, was posting them on her Instagram. She was initially going to keep them. So I went round to visit her and I was like, I'm coming round immediately, like a puppy and a kitten. Went round, was hanging out with them. And then a week later, she was like, I don't think I can keep them, so I'm going to list them to be adopted from an adoption agency. And the whole time I was like, I want them, I want them, I want them, I want them, I can't have them, I can't have them, I can't have them, because I travel so much and already have a cat in London and like blah, 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 blah. And then...
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Got drunk on Tuesday night and said, fuck it, I'll have them. And she was like, do you want to pick them up tomorrow? And I was like, I actually can't pick them up tomorrow, but the next day. And then I just went and got them.
Are they at home right now?
Yeah, they're at my house. And to the girls who, there was a couple of doubters in our Patreon.
Concerned girlies.
She said, I think you're a bit delulu to think you can get a puppy and a kitten at the same time. Well, I'll tell you what.
To which I say,
I'm not delulu, but I am exhausted. I'll tell you what, I've done it. And I'm tired and it's stressful as fuck. Like, having a puppy is fucked up. Like, it is hard work. This kitten I can do with my eyes closed. Like, it just, like, walked into the house, saw its litter tray, did a wee, drank its water, went to sleep. And the puppy's just, like, peeing and shitting everywhere. Barking, doesn't know how to sit, doesn't know how to pee outside because it's scared of the outside. Doesn't even really eat its food that much. but is the cutest, sweetest thing in the world.
That is so precious. I can't wait. For anyone who hasn't seen the pictures, they're in the Patreon. This isn't like a... Izzy will post pictures at some point, but not holding the pictures of your dog hostage to get converts. But they're so fucking cute. And in the pictures that you showed me, they're like sleeping together with their arms wrapped around each other. It's like, I've never even seen something like that before. They're best friends. A cat and a dog should be a movie.
I know, it's mental. And they sleep with me, and every day they sleep together in the little dog's bed, and then they'll play together and run around the house. So it's also really cute because, like, with right now, I've been out of the house for like an hour, and I'm going home in an hour, but like with them, they can hang out together, which is really nice. It's not like leaving them by themselves, which is really special. And yeah, the cat kind of thinks it's a dog and the dog kind of thinks it's a cat, except the dog I've now introduced to my friend's dog. And so now it's coming home and like playing more violently with the cat because it's like learning dog moves. So it came home and was like dragging it around the house by its ear. And I was like, fuck. Oh, but the cat could literally fuck it up if he wanted to.
Oh my God, that's really good. Okay, so names. Are the names locked in?
So what came to mind and what I've kind of stuck with, I'm not sure if it's right or wrong, I kind of, like, you know when people just think about these things for so long and then they get, like, the cutest name ever, and it's like, I know that that's nice, and you know, if I had a cat called Moochie or, like, Mew Mew or, like, any of those cute names, I'm sure I would love it. But I just was thinking about how the dog is a little pocket dog and, like, a little, like, handbag Paris Hilton dog. And then I wished I called it Bruiser, which is Legally Blonde, which is her chihuahua's name. But then I just thought about Polly Pocket, and so I've called the dog who's a girl Polly and the cat who's a boy Pocket.
Ooh, so I did already know that, but it's so
Polly Pocket
cute. I'm obsessed. I'm very, very excited. I'm excited to see the
I mean, I've already spent like $700 at Petco. I cancelled a trip to Miami on Monday to stay home with them.
Things we do for our children. I mean, I was talking to someone about this at lunch yesterday. They were saying they have a puppy and they were like, it's people get offended by this analogy, but it's like similar to having a baby in terms of like how like constant the attention required is.
Yeah, no, it's really, really intense because with puppies, like I think what I find quite stressful about them is I like my independence. And so it's like with a cat, they're cuddly, but they also do their own thing. And with a dog, it's sort of like when you're home with it, it like kind of follows you everywhere in this quite stressful way. Like you'll get up and you'll like go to the bathroom and it will get up and follow you to the bathroom and then like look at you as you wee. And then you like walk into the bedroom and it'll walk into the bedroom and kind of stand there as you're like getting dressed. I'm like, dude, just give me some space.
Boundaries.
Like treat him mean, keep him keen. Like go and lie down. Like just chill the fuck out. I really don't like that. Or when you leave the house, they like run to the door and like stare at you. And I'm just like, oh, you guys are so desperate.
Needy.
But I know they just love you and they're needy and like, yeah, she's a fucking puppy, so I just need to be gentle on her. But, like, last night, I was so exhausted because I just haven't slept properly for, like, 3 nights now with them. And today I have such a busy day. And last night, at one stage, she was following me. I was trying to, like, clean the house. So I was just, like, walking back and forwards, and her little, like, tap, 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 tap feet on the tiles were following me everywhere. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going mental. Like, I need you to just please give me. And then she would, like, bark randomly, and I was like, no barking.
No.
No. Oh.
How do you discipline a dog?
Dogs, I mean, you can discipline dogs because cats just don't really learn. So the cat's, like, just fucking jumping up my tree and shit, and you can't do a thing. With dogs, you just you say no really sternly, like deeply, and you just say the one word. So I shouldn't be like no barking, or I shouldn't be like stop or quiet. I just say like no or quiet. You pick one, and then when they're being good, it's like really high pitched voice and treats. So when she wheezes on her pee pad, I'm like, good girl, wee-wees, good girl, wee-wees. And then give her, like, a treat so that she associates wee-wees with peeing. It's fucked. It's crazy. It's so special. Intense. So that's my life now. I don't know how people have actual children.
That's a good practice.
I actually don't. Like, yeah, it is that love, though. Like, I do understand now. I'd never understood dogs before in this way. I sound like Jacob Elordi. But, like, I do understand now how dogs do give you, like, it's just kind of humans wanting, it's like, we're so selfish. Like, we like dogs more because dogs like us more. Like, the dog, because I'll get on the couch to watch TV and immediately she'll jump on the couch and snuggle into me and she's, like, so happy to be there. And, like, she's just, like, so stoked. Whereas the cat will just chill. And so we like dogs more because they just give us that gratification that we want. But I get it now because I am, like, it's quite special.
Yeah.
They're just more slutty about it.
Oh, how nice. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the AWD family. Polly and Pocket. Two little mascots. Need to get them pea
someone,
green colours.
Someone was like, they need to be called... Someone was like, they need to be called Hunky and Dory.
Oh, yeah. Hunky and Dory, Pea and Brain, Buss and Jare.
Dory as the dog would have been so cute, and Hunky as the cat.
Yeah.
That's actually such a cute name for a cat, Hunky.
I know. We live and we learn. I like Polly Pocket.
Polly Pocket.
Okay, let's go back to Jacob very quickly after that very exciting interlude. I just wanted to give a moment in the sun for how often he uses the word vine in, like, an old American 50s way. He calls his mum one of the finest people I know. Which I love.
I know, I don't like that. I don't, yeah. And he said that, what's his face? Austin Butler did a fine job of Elvis, didn't he?
Yeah, fine job. A fine performance. I was like, okay, Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, and even like how he brings his mum up constantly. Yeah, big red flags. Would bus, would
even
marry.
Even when he says fries, he goes, these are my mum's. I'm like, that's crazy to say.
I'm worried that your mic is doing the thing, but we shall okay, see.
Wait. Should I pause and play it? I guess
no,
there's nothing we can
I
do
think,
anyway.
Yeah. There's nothing we can do now.
Nothing to be done. Anyway, but joking aside, we're just poking fun. We're just poking a little fun being AWD girlies. I actually think he is a very, very good actor. He's obviously kind of emerging as one of the key sort of new actors of his generation. I think he's really, really talented. And I do think he comes across as very sweet and very sincere. And I would prefer that any day over the, like, hyper-studied, super annoying, like, PR'd thing. You do get a sense in that profile, much like Jeremy Strong, that you're actually getting a glimpse of who this person actually is, which is very endearing.
Yeah, it's really nice, very lovely. Would obviously bus, would you bus Barry
for sure? Oh my god,
how tall is he?
Oh my god, I'm like obsessed with him after that movie.
Oh, he's only 5'8".
That's fine.
I thought he was a short man.
Yeah, Jacob Elordi's really
got a
tall.
Big dick.
I was thinking that they must have known that they were going to do the naked dancing scene so you'd see his dick, so they needed to, like, reference. I wonder if Emerald Fennell thought that, because, you know, they made a... There was that scene where he came in and they were naked and they were all like, whoa. He's just so talented. He has this amazing face, like, just such a fascinating, interesting face. And just that, I love a man who dances. That end scene, I was like, game over, baby. Give me Barry any day over Jacob.
It was looking very like, it reminded me of Love Actually when he danced through the house when he was Prime Minister.
Yeah, there's this movie called Beau Travail with, I can't remember his name, this French guy. And it's one of my favorite endings to a movie ever. And I was like, I see you, Emerald Fennell. It's like the whole movie happens. And then all of a sudden at the end, this like kind of sociopathic guy just like breaks into dance around. It's so good.
So good. Yeah, it was giving talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, it was very Ripley. That was, I guess, my only critique was I was like, we have seen this story before, but it's always fun to watch again.
Yes, I love that film so much.
I didn't like when he slurped the plug hole. I think that was my most... Yours was the grave, mine was the... I don't like that slurping just does something to me in a bad way.
I don't like a slurp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I wasn't that keen on, like, the period blood on the neck.
Oh, yeah.
either.
Yeah.
Lots of weird and wonderful moments, but all in all, a good movie. I want to watch it again because I feel like there was just so much to take in. But I loved the cinematography. It was just so beautifully shot. I've never been to Oxford, so that was like really cool to see as well.
Yeah, it's, I think about that all the time. Just what a crazy experience of uni that would be for the people. Like, I don't know. It's just its own total other world. That's quite amazing. On the subject of posh English people, The Crown S6 is out.
Yeah, what did you think? So first half is out, right?
First half is out. I really liked it, and then I read that everyone thinks it's like the worst thing ever made, and I was surprised.
Oh, really? I haven't read anything about it. But I love dogs. I love Diana. Like, get a fucking like real personality. I love like anything seeing Elizabeth Debicki. I think she's wonderful, and I think she played Diana really well. But I found it just being like so royalist in like the most obvious of ways. Like, if last season was like we're working with the royals, this season was just, don't know, the narrative around like just the like Charles and Camilla narrative at the birthday party, like the speech he did being like, she's the love of my life, blah blah blah, and then the way they like portrayed Dodie's dad.
Yes I mean, I feel like The Crown has always been so over the head with this stuff. Maybe it just feels more obvious now because it's so recent,
because we know about
but
it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same. It's like the scene with Charles and her where he's like, I regret everything, and she's like, it's okay. I was like, oh my god, this is literally insane how much they're trying to rehabilitate like Charles's fucking image is nuts. But I'd kind of made my peace with that last season. It's getting closer and closer to kind of soap opera, and it felt a bit, I guess, more like schlocky and OTT. But I just, like you, I just, a highly produced rendering of the Princess Diana, you know, I'm just like, it's easy watching. Elizabeth Bicky's great.
Seeing her in that leopard print swimsuit.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the dad character, do you mean in terms of, because I feel like it just shows how kind of heartless and awful the royal family were to him.
How they were saying that the only reason like Dodie was with her was because the dad wanted to get British citizenship, and like, I don't know, just making him sound so crazy, being like, marry her and you'll get the Ritz. I was like, surely he didn't like say that. He's going to make another YouTube doc about The Crown.
Agree. I think it's true that the father was really, really obsessed with the royals and had been his whole life and just really desperately wanted acceptance from them, which is like quite tragic. That's why the whole thing feels like this kind of Shakespearean tragedy. And that the father was very much hoping that they would get together and,
well, I mean, who wouldn't be hoping that?
Who wouldn't be hoping? And I'm just like, his poor fiance, the like catalogue model fiance that was carted off to the other yacht.
I know.
I think that stuff was true, and that it wasn't really like this actual romantic love affair. It was kind of like a relationship of convenience that had like run its course. I think that was all kind of true. But it was just, we're also obsessed with Diana in this like parasocial fucked up way, but it is still just, I don't know, it just made me so sad rewatching it. Thinking about all these things that they did, like she just wasn't supposed to go to, I don't know, all these sliding doors things.
Like, is that even true though? Was she not supposed to go to Paris and he made her to get the ring? Like, is that made up? I'm like, that's mental.
I don't think him making her to get the ring, yeah, that's probably made up. But I just feel like even that night where they like left the Ritz when it was so chaotic and crazy, just all of that stuff where you just think it's just
I know,
nuts.
Why did they leave? I would stay.
Yeah, such a preventable thing. I don't know. But yeah, I think the problem with making it up until this recently is just the fact that it gets so close to home for people. Thinking about them like shooting William and Harry, being told by their dad that their mother's dead when like William and Harry are still relatively young, you know, it all feels a little bit gross. I can kind of see the merit in people
yes,
not liking it.
For sure. The main question is, would you bust Dodie?
Oh, for sure. But not when he's, like, cowering to his dad. That's a little bit of a turn-off. But the actor's really fucking hot.
Such a turn-off. Yeah, agreed. Would you bust Charles?
No. But I love that he's such a cuck for Camilla. It's still my favourite thing about him.
I know. Did you know also that it's come out but been redacted? So I feel like, not that anyone's listening to AWD to sue for this kind of thing. But it got announced and then redacted, like, accidentally, who questioned the colour of Archie's skin.
Camilla. I'm so confident it's Camilla.
No.
No. Camilla's husband. The one married to Camilla.
Yes. Crazy. I guess it was kind of obvious because they said it wasn't the Queen or Prince Philip.
I knew it was Charles, like, or Camilla. Like, who else? I thought it was maybe.
I guess Will.
I thought it was Camilla for some reason. Do I have internalized misogyny? It just feels like a kind of thing she would say.
Camilla's like, for God's sake. I know. Camilla's like, I've like had enough of this. Camilla sues us. Goodness gracious me.
I feel like if we were stuck in a room with Camilla and got her on the whiskies and the cigars and her just told some old tales.
Yeah, do you reckon? I wonder.
We wouldn't like it and we'd feel gross afterwards, but we'd get caught up in the moment. Whereas Charles, you know what I mean? Charles, we wouldn't. No fear of that with Charles.
No. No. I would never let myself near that man. I feel the same way towards him as I do towards Jay-Z. It's like specific section of men that I fucking hate. Anytime I've been up to like 3 Beyonce concerts, every time she brings out that man, I was like, no one here wants to see
silence,
him.
Silence in the room. Read the room.
Read the room. Read fucking Lemonade.
What did you think of it?
I just thought it was like fine. I had it on. I kind of had it on in the background, which isn't a good, which basically is saying that I like The Golden Bachelor more because I can't have The Golden Bachelor on in the background. I have to watch it with all my attention. And with The Crown, I was sort of just like zoning out. I guess it has always been super slow in that way.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like holding my attention. And I think also because now, as you say, it is so recent. It's like we know that we kind of know everything that's going on now. Like we even know the outfits she's wearing. It doesn't really feel as interesting. Whereas I liked like imagining her being younger and seeing all of that. Now it's kind of just like we know that the car crash is coming.
Yeah, I feel like if we hadn't seen Ed come out and made a point of talking to watch it and talk about it on the pod, I don't think I would have bothered to watch it, if that makes sense. Like I very much tapped out by last season.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I loved season 2 so much. And the Emma Corrin season.
Yeah, the Emma Corrin, that they were phenomenal. But mainly just for them. It was interesting because we missed that era. But it was mainly just the two of them were so good.
Jare, jare.
Jare.
I actually have to go. You've probably got to go as well.
Yeah, I've got to go too. Girlies.
Girls on the run.
Girls on the run. That was fun.
It was fun. I love jumping around. I'm in a hotel room in Sunset Tower that they've given to me before the guest checks in. I was like, I'm gonna take some photos of this and pretend that I'm staying here. Don't you believe it? Bet you believe it. She was like, the woman goes, please don't. I was like, what do you think I'm taking photos? I was like making a joke, being like, get some photos. She was like, please don't. I was like, all right.
Please don't.
Okay. Fine. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.